hope the president's watching.
Not the day.
Gary Hoffman.
This guy is a petulant child. That's what he is.
Shannon Farron.
Oh, girl, it's cold outside.
Gary and Shannon.
What? No. Yeah.
We are going to kick your rear end out of the White House come this fall.
All you have to do is wait a second.
Welcome to You Can't Change a Pimp Tuesday. And you're all in for a treat because Hoffman is off the freaking rails. I don't know what's going on with you today, but it's a lot, and I'm here for it. What you doing over there with that?
I feel like we work with gorillas because this is completely broken. How could you possibly Conan that thing so hard? It's just a little copy stand. There's nobody that needs to be kicking that thing.
Well, John has anger management issues sometimes.
I don't think it's John. I could be, but strange.
Well, who else would it be?
Alex?
Oh.
Maybe?
I don't know. See, she has to work with Handel, so I can understand if she had some anger-related issues as well.
There are a lot going on. We'll talk about election stuff in a little bit. Nevada Supreme Court made Joe Biden's win in Nevada official. Pennsylvania officials say Joe Biden has been certified. The California Restaurant Association has filed a court order to stop L.A. County from suspending in-person dining. Steve Gregory is going to join us at 11 to talk about the science or the finger quote science.
If you look at the county's tracing information.
Oh, yeah.
Restaurants account for 3.1%. You know what accounts for more than twice that?
The county?
Government office.
Yeah.
Government offices account for 7.27%. So why don't we shut down the government and leave the freaking restaurants open? Why does LA County not want businesses to succeed? Why does LA County want to find itself in an economic catastrophe?
They feel like they know more than you.
When you look at the restaurants where there have been some cases, they're all staff.
They're all
and
chain
restaurants. They're Burger King and McDonald's, not local places.
Kudos to the city of Pasadena looking at doing this thing on their own and doing the old bloop bloop to everybody else. I have a couple of very important and pressing issues that I am confused about right now.
Okay.
I'm going through a lot.
Okay.
My dog is afraid of my daughter. That's one thing that's weird. And he apparently got shocked, a little static shock, and then freaked out last night, started shuddering in the corner like he was.
Well, you know what that's about, right?
What is that about? I don't
know. It's because your daughter left for school and the dog got all your wife's attention.
Oh,
and now she's back and she's not getting as much. He's not getting it. It's a boy, right? Yeah, Fergus. Fergus isn't getting the attention that he's been accustomed to from your wife. Any sort of attention that she's giving to Olivia, that dog's pissed off about. So he's acting out.
I don't know. It just was an odd few.
That's exactly what's happening.
He was shaking.
It's jealousy.
I guess it could be jealousy.
Or a neurological issue.
Neuropathically.
Have you been drinking?
Late. I feel like I should start. I tell you what, I need to dull some of the senses right now.
What else is going on?
The other thing is that Facebook thing I just read to you. A former college roommate of mine announced on Facebook that he's getting separated from his wife.
People are oversharers.
No, I thought, no, don't cheer for that, Morgan. That's not a thing to cheer for.
I'm happy for them. Hopefully their lives will get better,
right? If they're not happy together, then...
What a horrible thing to say.
Maybe they'll
be better off separated. Some people are not destined.
Do you need to say something? Do you have a story to tell?
I do have a story to tell.
Uh oh.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to make me mad? No, I don't know.
Sad. I don't know what emotion it is. I'm just saying. Are you going to make me feel things?
With this story? You're already feeling things.
I know. That's why I'm asking. Don't push me.
Is it because you're upset that they broke up?
No. Well. Yeah, I mean, I'm sad for that. Why would you put that on Facebook?
People put all sorts of things.
And then why would the morons who are commenting on it be like, I'm so sad for you? On Facebook!
That's funny. I got a text from one of my buddies this morning, and he says, sure, I'll be a D. And then he goes on a rant about all this guy that we know, a mutual friend or mutual ex-colleague, I guess is a better way to say it, who's posting all of these hospital pictures, like all of them, like unflattering, like terrible and just willy-nilly on Facebook every single day. Close-up selfies in the bed, the whole thing. And he's like, why? Why is he posting all that? You know what? We're in a period where we're all oversharing intimate things that usually would be reserved for your closest friends or family. And we're just blasting this stuff.
Because, and why? And why?
Because we want attention.
I guess that's what it is.
It's the thirst is unbelievable.
Isn't part of my reaction to this? I'd rather not know the reality of what's going on. I think part of that is what, like,
You'd like everything to just appear to be nice. And it's not.
Well, I know. And I know there's a reality out there. The people are sad and they go through tough things. And 2020 sucks as a year. And people are breaking up as a result of being stuck at home. Like, it's too much with their family. But that's, to me, that's weird.
I think this is the most emotion that you've shown in 5 years.
We also need to talk about what happens when you go down the Twitter hole.
Wake up!
When you go down a Twitter hole on a specific person, you might be hypnotized. And I think the president got hypnotized by Randy Quaid, of all people.
Randy Quaid is off his ass.
Randy Quaid.
He's been off his ass for a while, huh?
He's never been the trophy person for stability.
Right.
And the president, for some reason, chose to retweet a series of Randy Quaid tweets that are unhinged and use them as like an example of, Republicans should be paying attention to Randy Quaid, of all people.
You haven't heard my story yet.
What's your story? I feel like I'm going to be.
It's about Thanksgiving.
I'm listening.
There's been a development. And I'll tell you when we come back.
Ah!
You are fired up. Did you have Diet Coke behind my back?
I didn't. You know what I did have today? My wife bought a Nespresso thing.
Oh.
Yes. And she's like, hey, do you want to try one of these crack pods?
Yeah.
And I said, sure.
Welcome to my world.
How bad could it be?
Oh, that's what's going on.
Yeah. And even my son.
It's like meth the first time you have it.
Bad idea.
It's like hot rails.
I'm going to crash. It's 11 o'clock.
We'll get you a Diet Coke. How about that? We'll just keep this thing going.
To sustain, that's all.
Okay. To make you feel normal. All right, Gary and Shannon will continue.
Do you slide on all your knives like this? Do you try on all your knives?
Not just me. Like just saying, it's not just me. There's something in the air.
There's something going on. Is Mercury in retrograde or something?
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. In Wilmington, Delaware right now, Joe Biden has been introducing some of his first cabinet selections. No surprises. Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State nominee, is the one who's at the podium right now talking about his philosophy for foreign affairs. Again, at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk more about the county and the restaurants, what it is that L.A. County has said is going to happen tomorrow, and why it is that the California Restaurant Association has filed a court order to stop the county from suspending restaurants.
So I had an experience that I think a lot of people are experiencing this week, probably. My mother texts me, hey, I'm going to call you in a little bit. There's been a development. So
Were you worried about that point? That's a very obsequious.
I know. It was very vague. And so I call my brother and I say, what's going on?
Right.
Because Thanksgiving was going to be at my brother's house with my parents and me and my brother's kids and aunt and uncle.
And Gavin Newsom.
And so it was already a tentative situation.
Right.
We'll see what goes on. My uncle had the COVID, but has since tested negative. He went to the World Series, since tested negative. And my aunt had tested negative as well. And so it was going to be us, and we were going to be eating in different areas of the house or outside. And we had a whole plan, and my aunt was going to be the only one touching the food and serving and the whole bit. And we were going to do this the safe way. Until it comes out that the kid's mom, my brother's ex-wife, has been around a friend who has tested positive. And the ex-wife, of course, has been around the kids, and the kids have been around my brother, so they've all been exposed. So instead of having it at my brother's house now, I'm going to go to my parents' house, and it's going to be just the three of us.
Okay.
So I just thought that other people are probably having these phone calls, too.
Like mixing and...
Right.
Changing their plans. And
I'm glad that there's transparency, I guess,
right.
That, you know, my brother's ex-wife's friend was honest about it, you know, and that my brother's ex-wife was honest about it. And my brother was cool about the whole thing. Like, we've been exposed, because at first, you know, my mom was saying, well, then the kids can't go. They'll be at Chris at his ex-wife's house.
Right.
And Andy, my brother, was like, well, I've been exposed to the kids. So, you know, I just think that there's a lot of figuring out how it's going to work that's going on with everybody right now. And I'm enjoying the transparency of people being honest so we can do this the safe way and still see people that we love and need to see.
Maybe it's just a lesson for all of us not to be married to whatever plans we think we have for Thanksgiving.
Right, exactly.
A lot can change in 48 hours.
Right.
Football games are still going to be on, maybe,
yeah.
Depending on what goes on in Dallas. But what happened there, did you say?
Strength and conditioning coach died. 54 years old. Suddenly died. I don't know if it was at the facility, but his name is Marcus Paul, former player. We don't know any details. He was rushed to the hospital from practice with a serious medical condition.
54
years?
54,
yeah.
Maybe heart attack or something. Okay, well, we'll talk more about this as we get into Swamp Watch later, but the president has been retweeting things from Randy Quaid, of all people. Yes, actor Randy Quaid. They're not things that he's done today. Randy Quaid is always active on Twitter. He's a curious follow, I think is probably the best way to put it. Randy Quaid has never been the example of stability that you look for in terms of finding anything smart or salient to say on Twitter. And he, two weeks ago, posted a video of nothing but his face when he described what's wrong with Twitter. Jacob, fire me up over here.
Psst. Weekend daytime, even worse.
Fox News ratings.
Very sad to watch this happen. But they forgot the way.
Now, what was that?
I don't know what that was. I feel sad laughing because I think he's dealing with a mental condition.
Oh, he's been dealing with a mental condition for a long time.
Yeah.
He also did, I think it was, I guess you could say, a poem last year. This was a year ago that he made this video.
Is this the way America goes? From George Washington to George Soros? From oceans white with foam to a socialist swamp? Is this the way America goes? Is this really our future?
The president retweeted that. The president also went on to say something like, thank you, Randy, working hard to clean up the stench of the 2020 election hoax. When Randy Quaid wrote on the 20th of November, we've lost confidence in the system. Donald Trump then retweeted it and added, are you listening, Republicans? This is a sign? This is worrisome? I mean, the president's done a lot of weird, funny, goofy, non-tethered things on Twitter. Retweeting and then quote tweeting Randy Quaid is a new level.
It's sad. It's all sad. And, you know, when you've got Rush Limbaugh and Tucker Carlson telling you to let it go like they did today, you got to let it go. Move on. You have a successful life. You have a successful family. Let's start the next chapter.
Think of the money he could make if he sold tickets to his political rallies.
Oh, I know.
Just a rally. Just
sure.
Donald Trump showing up at the forum.
Just to go, just to talk.
Just to talk. People would fall over themselves to go watch that guy talk.
All right, coming up next, it looks like Elizabeth Holmes is being very protective over her lifestyle. Are you going to do the voice?
I don't want anybody to know exactly how much money I have.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Did you see the story of the world's most beautiful duck? It's going to blow your mind.
I don't like to choose favorites when it comes to ducks and their beauty. I don't want all the other ducks to feel less than.
Right, and I know that about you. I know how empowering you like to be when it comes to duck beauty.
I gas up all the ducks. Like, I will compliment a duck all day long.
But I'm going to show you a picture of this duck, and you are going to just...
All right.
You're going to blow up.
I'm going to blow up?
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Do you need a bodyguard? I'm not for you.
California Restaurant Association has filed a court order to stop L.A. County from suspending its in-person dining tomorrow. That hearing is going on. We're going to be listening with Steve Gregory coming up in a few, probably at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about how it is that the county is pushing back on the health director's order.
I dug into the science. And
pretty
there's
shallow
no
dig.
Reason. There is no reason. The restaurants, local restaurants, account for such a tiny fraction when you look at the contact tracing numbers, and we'll get into it.
And it's their numbers.
Right.
You're not pulling this out
exactly.
of somebody else's bunghole.
I'm not on Randy Quaid's Twitter machine. Did I just say Twitter machine?
Yes.
Like
Wake
I'm
up!
Freaking 75 years old. But I'm not on Randy Quaid's feed here getting numbers from L.A. County. I'm taking the numbers that they provide on their public health website.
She's got her mama's looks and her daddy's sense of balance. Hose down now, kids. Chicken's almost ready.
Everybody knows Elizabeth Holmes, right? Elizabeth Holmes was the 19-year-old who started a company called Theranos after she dropped out of Stanford University. It was a blood testing startup.
She was able to dupe some of the brightest minds to invest in her company. She duped investors out of more than $700 million while lying to doctors and patients about this system that she was said to have developed, where all you need is a single drop of blood to perform blood tests.
Yeah, and the blood tests were not just the normal ones that you would see. I mean, these things were supposed to be able to detect 400 different types of cancers or diseases or blood issues or body, whatever it was. This was going to be the most, this was Star Trek. Like, this was level of technology that simply didn't exist. And she was able to convince people.
No, seriously, it does exist. We can do this with just one drop of blood.
She, in 2015, the company went, I keep wanting to say this term, and I don't think I can say it. Can I say that? I can't say that.
Let me see.
This is the company went.
Sure you can.
Nah, I'm not going to.
Come on.
I'll just say it went boobs
up. Let's roll the dice today.
It went boobs up. I'll say that.
Boobs up.
They were using routine blood testing equipment for the vast majority of the tests and were basically making up results about what was happening. And the Wall Street Journal story from 2015 was the one that first raised concerns about the accuracy of this blood testing technology and even questioned whether it existed in the first place. So Elizabeth Holmes, the founder, and her boyfriend, who became a researcher, I guess her ex-boyfriend now, Ramesh Balwani, are the ones being tried in federal court, accused of falsely claiming these machines could perform these blood tests.
Remember also the reason why she did sound like that, why her voice was so low, was because she read that if you have a deeper voice, people are more likely to believe you and buy into your fraud and your scam.
Man, and the documentaries, the podcasts that have been made about her and Theranos they're odd to begin with because I think she's kind of an odd duck. Not a pretty duck, an odd duck. She's a pretty, well, never mind. Lawyers for Elizabeth Holmes and Ramesh Balwani are arguing that the prosecutors have taken too long to file new indictments. Some of the alleged misconduct was too old. The defense also said the indictments didn't provide enough explanation of the charges. The prosecutors have fired back and said these allegations are very clear. That's what we do. We file charges. They describe the type of misrepresentations, half-truths, and omissions made to investors to perpetrate this fraud. But they're also asking, the defense attorneys are, they're asking that the judge block any mention of how much money she had.
Right. They say that prosecutors are assuming her luxurious lifestyle motivated her to commit the fraud, that she was into luxurious housing, expensive vehicles, clothing, that she employed personal assistants to run her luxury shopping sprees. She traveled by private jet, stayed at exclusive hotels. And her attorneys are arguing, well, a lot of CEOs live like this.
Yeah. Remember she used to wear the black turtleneck all the time?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pictures of her with the black turtleneck because she idolized Steve Jobs, supposedly. I don't remember Steve Jobs living like that. Even though that guy had all kinds of money. He had God money, and he didn't live like that. The partnership with Walgreens was in question. Theranos was worth at $1.9 billion with a B, $9 billion. Soon after, Wall Street Journal came out in 2015 and talked about the test and raised questions about it. Walgreens pulled out of the thing, pulled out of their partnership with Theranos. July 2016, the Department of Health and Human Services banned Theranos from doing any blood testing work at all. And in 2018, she forfeited control of the company, agreed to pay $500,000 fine to settle charges by the SEC that she had committed a massive fraud and saw investors pouring in $700 million and huge, huge name people in terms of those that donated to the company, seed money.
All right, coming up next, some Peloton buyers lack patience. What are you smirking about?
I am just smirking because today feels funny.
It's because you had an espresso for the first time. It'll change a boy's life.
It's not the first time I had an espresso.
Oh, really? Then I don't know what you're going through.
Maybe I could eat something. That might help.
That might help.
I haven't eaten anything yet today.
Why don't you?
I got veggies.
I'm not eating
like a protein
any food
bar or something
that you bring into the office, Morgan, just to be clear.
Don't say I didn't offer.
No. All right.
Thank you.
You can't change a pimp Tuesday continues.
You could try and say
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well,
I got bad news.
Okay.
I got bad news. The judge denied the request from the California Restaurant Association to hold off the LA County restaurant closures. The judge did leave the door open for some future legal action, but...
What was his opinion?
I don't know much of the details. The attorney for the Restaurant Association says they will continue to plead their case in court. So
I'll bring somebody back to life. Dallas Cowboys strength and conditioning coach who was reportedly no longer with us is now with us. The Cowboys have released a statement saying he's undergoing further medical tests.
Wake up!
The team's practice today was canceled. They said he was rushed to the hospital with a medical emergency, and then Sports Illustrated reported he died. But now he's not dead.
Not dead yet.
That's odd.
Is it, though?
Do you think that
people
were...
die and come back to life all the time?
2020, am I right?
Right.
Do you think that what happened was SI went with it before they notified the guy's family? And that he's going to end up being dead?
Ooh, that's possible, I suppose.
Like they prematurely reported it? I don't know.
people are dealing with this in different ways, and by this I mean everything. One of the ways that people deal with it is by exercising, and that's perfectly fine and healthy and commendable.
The Peloton is a lot of money. I felt like an idiot when I bought the Peloton in April or March.
But
in fact, I lied to my husband about it. I said, what do you think about buying a Peloton after I had already bought the Peloton?
My dead body.
And he was like, seems like a lot of money. And I was like, yeah, but well, here's the thing. I bought it. But
he now admits
that it was a good investment because I've saved more money in going to gyms and yoga and all of that. I would have spent more money in the past 8 months than I spent on the Peloton.
Hey, and the good news is Peloton is doing gangbusters, right? The bad news is they're not delivering on time. The company says it's nearly doubled subscriptions since March, obviously. In September, the starting price on their bikes dropped down to $1,895. However, because they've been so popular, they haven't been able to keep up. A Peloton spokesperson says delays are primarily due to shipping log jams, especially at ports, as these bikes are coming in from these manufacturers overseas. We've done stories here about how the Port of LA and Long Beach is seeing unprecedented volume right now. Port delays are difficult to predict and resolve. The wait times right now are not how we want people to experience Peloton. And my understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, they come to your house. It's not like the UPS guy drops a box off, knocks, and leaves.
It's a Peloton team that comes in a Peloton van, and they're wearing Peloton shirts, and they put together the bike wherever you want it. Make sure it's in working order and all that.
Peloton has acknowledged customers are struggling both with delivery delays and unacceptably long wait times for customer service help.
So people are going to the rivals. There are other companies that are doing the same kind of deal. Nautilus, remember of Bowflex fame in the 80s? Bowflex, which became everyone's laundry dumping ground. After the initial excitement wore off, that's where you would keep your clothes.
It was like a laundry sculpture.
It was a laundry sculpture, totally. They offer a lower-priced bike, and they have a connected system compatible with Peloton's online classes. And their shares, Nautilus shares, have surged above $15. 1 year ago, the shares were $1.50.
That's pretty good. Nordic Track makes similar treadmills and bikes that you can hook up and do classes on. All of these things are, listen, for a country that has been woefully fat for the last 40 years.
This cannot continue.
This cannot continue.
No.
And if this is something that does stick around from 2020, if this is sort of a hangover, is that everybody's got a Peloton or a Nordic Track or a Nautilus or one. What's the one that Morgan was talking about today?
The mirror.
Is that a Lululemon product?
I think it's a Lululemon partner. I don't know if it's a Lululemon product. I'm not sure what the situation is there.
It is right there on TV. It's a very futuristic looking little thingy.
It's odd. And the thing that I don't like about it is they try to sell it as, you know, workouts for the whole family. But
You don't want that. The kids annoying you.
Who wants to work out that close together? Because they're all like bunched in that room to see the mirror workout.
Spread out, people.
I don't know. But I do love the Peloton. It's addictive. And the instructors are very uplifting people. They're positive people, which is really nice right now.
We had a bonding moment. I told you that there was one specific workout that I was doing on YouTube that I found. And they're a couple of months old, 7 or 8 months old. But one of the main trainers got hired on by Peloton. Apparently, that's a new industry. It's like they're pulling trainers from around the country
to be the
new people.
I wonder how much they make.
I don't know.
I'm curious about that. All right.
When we come back, Steve Gregory's joining us. We're going to be talking more about the science, the restaurant battle with LA County's COVID rules. Of course, not a great ruling in the courts today about it, but this is not over by any means. We'll continue with Steve when we come back.
we got that taken care of. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You really are going through something, Gary. It's 11:05 and you're shopping for whiskey online. I'm not judging. I'm just concerned.
That sounds exactly like judgment.
No, it's just abnormal behavior.
I haven't purchased any. I'm just looking at it, just to be clear. A guy can dream, can't he?
Yes.
I mean, it is just Tuesday, after all.
It's the holidays.
If Morgan prints out any more of these Live, Laugh, Love posters, I am going to lose it, though.
I know. I threw mine away.
Wait.
Just throw it away.
Why? Y'all not want to be inspired? Wow, y'all can't see it, but he just threw that in the trash and made it.
Mm-hmm.
Did he really?
That's disrespectful.
I don't think I made it.
No, he did not make it.
Oh.
I knew that was a lie.
Live, laugh, love.
Pennsylvania officials say that Joe Biden has been certified winner of the presidential vote in that state. The Democratic governor first disclosed in a tweet today that the Department of State certified the vote count for president and vice president. Nevada's state Supreme Court made Joe Biden's win in the state official, approving the first canvass of the November 3rd election. In Milwaukee, they say the recounting of the presidential election results in that county could be completed as soon as Wednesday, no later than Friday. It got off to a slow start. There were a lot of objections to some of the votes that had been cast by the president's attorneys and observers.
Well, you don't need to be Rain Man to go onto the L.A. County Public Health website and look at the numbers of how people are getting this thing or where they're getting it. You look at the contact tracing numbers and you find that restaurants account for 3.1% when you look at non-residential settings. Where are people getting this thing outside the home? 3.1% are restaurants, and they're, for the most part, chain restaurants, Burger King, McDonald's, The Habit, things like that, not local restaurants. Furthermore, you know it's double that? Government offices, more than double that, 7.27% of cases are getting spread in government offices. So what does the government do? Not shut itself down, but shut down restaurants and cripple economically this county.
Steve Gregory is also crippling this county in a more mental way. And there's a couple of developments, of course. Today, you were just mentioning the California Restaurant Association did file that court order today, but lost.
Yep.
So that.
But the judge did leave the door open for future challenges.
What did the judge say about that?
I don't know the specific language. We're waiting for it. In fact, we have a call to the attorney, and we want to talk to the attorney that fought on behalf of the Restaurant Association. But it was a pretty short and to the, you know, sweet to the point kind of a hearing. But I think what's going to happen, because we're also waiting to hear as we speak in, well, about 25 minutes, the Board of Supervisors is expected to argue this point as well. It's on their agenda, and it should be happening around 11:30. A lot's been said about mostly what you just talked about a moment ago, but in my conversation with Dr. Ferrer yesterday during the media call, the private media call, she kind of explained a little bit, I guess. Well, yeah, if you want, I will. Well, let's back up. So the first question I asked her yesterday, and this will be cut one, Jacob, the question was, how many cases be due to outdoor dining have you recorded in L.A. County? And this is her answer.
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I will be happy to, you know, work with our communications team, and we'll get those numbers to both you and,
well,
and Stephanie.
And I guess I
just don't have them off the top of my head.
Okay.
And I showed you that there's an increase in outbreaks, but the exact number I don't have.
Shouldn't she have the exact number? Like, be ready for that? You know that question's coming,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. So I was going off of my colleague Stephanie Elam over at CNN had asked her the question first, and Ferrer hadn't answered it. So when it came to me, I said, well, can you go back to answering Stephanie's question about the exact number of cases you've had as a result of outdoor dining? And that was her response. So then it got a little deeper into that because, I have very little time with her on the phone because, you know, these are just, you know, small opportunities for me. So I try to fire a lot of questions at her. And typically there's 10 to 12 of us on the call. Yesterday were 67 reporters on the call.
Yeah, I bet.
So,
and wait, again, I'm a little mystified that the order that comes down Sunday night that says that Wednesday night is the cutoff, 10 p.m., no more on-campus dining, no more in-person dining, outdoor or indoor, anywhere in L.A. County. So just the tweet alone from L.A. Public Health was probably the most retweeted, responded to tweet in the history of L.A. County Public Health, even considering what we've been going through for the last 8 months. And they're not savvy enough to realize that that's going to be the number one question when it comes to these news conferences in these next couple of days.
Yeah, it caught me a little off guard, too, because eventually you hear someone in the background telling her that the answers are on the website.
Oh, great. And yeah. Well, like you've said, and Shannon pointed out, the answers on the website satisfy nothing.
If this thing is spreading willy-nilly at restaurants, fine. Shut them down and show us that that's the case. But that's not the truth. That's not what's happening.
And, well,
go ahead.
No, I was just...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Do I need to step in here? You guys get it over with.
You were on a roll, and I was prematurely interrupting you.
I don't remember what I was saying. I lost time.
No, I think to your point, Shannon, is that, yeah, and then they throw this data dump at us and this number salad at us, and then like, here, we're being transparent. It's like, well, what does all this mean? You know, and then they start throwing positivity rate and then this rate and that rate and everything, and people are sitting there, their heads are swimming, and they think that this, you know, standing up as a talking head and just regurgitating all this data, they think that that's what's helping the community, and that's not what's helping the community. And in my view of it, having been out in the field covering this, is that people just want context. There's no context behind any of this. But you know the one word that gets thrown around a lot with this? Science. Well, we look to the science to guide us.
I did look to the science, and the guidance is shut down the government offices before you shut down restaurants because it's spreading more among you people.
You people. Steve Gregory has joined us. We'll come back and we'll continue this.
Because I do ask the question about the science and she answers.
Yeah, excellent. Gary and Shannon will continue.
Yeah. Never pick up, never call me. You know we're running out of time. Never pick up when you want me. Now I gotta draw a line. Baby, I done done enough talking. Need to know that you're mine. Baby, we done done enough talking. Gotta be right now, right now. Baby, go love me now, 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 now.
Wait, what? Why are we slapping that?
It's just a way to keep somebody in check.
Sometimes. Oh.
It's like
like a puppy slap, but different.
Let's be very clear. We do not condone violence or any form thereof.
Well, sometimes.
Right. It's just a verbal. It's not an actual.
Like a verbal slap.
Yeah. You know, if you squirt gun on a dog or a cat, like they're doing something you don't want them to do.
That's akin to a water cannon.
That is not akin to a water cannon. I'm going to disagree with you. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We are talking with Steve Gregory about the latest on the restaurants that are battling with L.A. County and the COVID rules that are going to go into effect tomorrow. A judge already denied the California Restaurant Association and their attempt to block these rules from going into effect tomorrow night. There is a lot that's going on because the Board of Supervisors is scheduled to meet at 11:30 to start this process of discussing this. We already know that Catherine Barger has come out and said that she will be pushing back against this today in the meeting, especially if there is no real science behind all of this. And that leads us to Steve's question about science.
Yeah, and that's the word that I think is probably the number one most used or most misunderstood word, I guess, in this particular case. Because everything is based on science. So here in cut two, Jacob, here's the question.
Would you explain what exactly is the science? The word science is being thrown around quite a bit. When you say science, do you mean data? Or is there some formula that we're not aware of? And, because when I request records from the county, I keep getting told no when I request these records. And I just want to know what the science is when you say science.
Yeah, Steve, I'm sorry. I'm not really sure about what record requests are being denied. I think generally we're a count, one of the counties that's most transparent. We try to post all of our data The science, I think, is broader than that, because the science are also researchers who are working in different settings. Some of those are lab settings, as you know, for the testing that was done on sort of the efficacy of masks. A lot of that was done in lab settings that really, you know, can dig in deeper to an issue and often try to find additional information about what works and what may not work so well. I think there's ample evidence at this point that in situations where people are wearing their cloth face coverings, there is less possibility for there to be transmission.
Why is she going through the masks?
And that's the science we use about really making decisions.
We know that the masks are beneficial. That wasn't the question. That's asked and answered. What we want to know is, why, when the data that you provide shows that restaurants only account for 3.1% of the cases in non-residential settings, and it's usually all staff, why then you're shutting them down? Listen, I know the concern about people having too much to drink and start licking each other and licking the doorknobs and all of that. I get that. That's why you put the curfew in from 10 to 6 or whatever. But that should address that concern. Shutting down the restaurants for all dining is going to cripple economically this county.
This word salad that she came up with was not, it didn't clear anything.
Didn't answer the question.
And I said this yesterday when we talked about it. When we saw the alert on Sunday night that said that this was going to happen, I looked for studies that talk about restaurant transmission. And there are a couple of them out there, but they still don't – they're not definitive, because it was something like I think it was Johns Hopkins University that looked at credit card information from 30 million different people and where they were and whether or not they tested positive for COVID at some point. But that's not to – and many of them went to restaurants, because many people go to restaurants. It wasn't – it was not an exact correlation to, therefore, that person got infected while they were eating at a restaurant. Those studies do not exist that I've been able to find.
Everything that they're doing right now, from what I can tell, and based on another answer she gave yesterday, is that this is preemptive. The one example she brought up, too, is that when her inspectors were out looking at restaurants, and by the way, for the first 2 weeks of November, they issued 86 citations to 76 locations, including restaurants. The biggest violations in the restaurant field were physical distancing violations and no mask violations. So I think that's why she keeps bringing that up. And so when she correlates that in that visual, she's, I think, basically taking that leap of saying, well, since I've been seeing this in this small percentage, this has the potential of getting bigger and worse. To the point of a guy yesterday, Independent Restaurant Coalition, Greg Marina, restaurant owner and represents a bunch of restaurants locally. He said what they're battling is the optics. And they said when they're looking for a culprit in all of this, you see people gathering outside. And he says he thinks the county's using that as an example, because that's the only visual culprit that they have. You can't find someone's private parties. You can't find these private gatherings. So he seems to think they're a victim of this visualization, this whole the people are seeing this. So that must be where it's happening, because I see people gathering.
Right. Everything's fine because people are eating outside.
I would love to see if there was a way for them to shift this message. I mean, she being Dr. Ferrer, the Department of Health is going to have some unprecedented powers when it comes to shutting something like the restaurant industry down. I would like to see some sort of a message shift on their behalf. Instead of telling people what they can't do, give us an idea of what we can do. I think we are a better, we in general, we as people, we as Californians, we as Americans, we're better when you tell us what we should do, an active thing for us to make the problem go away.
Gary,
and whether that's volunteering at hospitals or something. Don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do.
Gary, the county pays millions of dollars with PR firms to give us our message.
Okay. Next time, this is just between the three of us. Next time, slide into their DMs. We will charge them 60% of what they were paying these dumb PR firms.
Well, better
and
yet,
the three of us will come.
Why
up
not invest
plan.
In local media like local radio to give out the messaging? Why not invest the money here, the people that actually reach the public?
That's here's the other idea. Problem with this no dining order. It's going to drive people inside in homes. People aren't going to stop seeing each other. They're just going to do it at their homes in more unsafe conditions than if you were eating outside with a friend.
You know, the other thing, too, and back to your point, Shannon, about the restaurants and crippling the economy, I think about these restaurants who had reservations already lined up for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And breakfast or brunch or whatever the case is. And all the food that's in all the coolers and on the shelves right now on all the restaurants around L.A. County and what they're going to be doing with this inventory that they won't be – they're not going to be able to make up the difference in deliveries and carry out.
All right. Well,
hopefully we'll have some answers – yeah, hopefully in the next hour or so.
I was going to say, if anything comes up with this Board of Supervisors meeting, let us know. Gary and Shannon will continue. Smile like you mean it.
Smile like you mean it. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Health Secretary Alex Azar said today the FDA will be meeting with its Independence Vaccine Review Board just weeks from now to discuss emergency approval of COVID-19 vaccines, and that if all goes well, the country could see the first distribution of a vaccine shortly after. They said that they can begin distribution of a vaccine within 24 hours of approval.
Steve Gregory's was with us for a half an hour. We were talking about the county's battle now, the county's battle with its own Department of Public Health. At least Catherine Barger, one of the supervisors, has suggested that she would push back against this order that came out on Sunday, suggesting that all restaurants close all in-person dining tomorrow night and for at least 3 weeks. We'll hear from Steve a little bit later about what goes on with that and what they say in this meeting and see if it changes any minds over their Department of Public Health. There's a story. It originally appeared, I believe, in the New York Times, but there is a massive, massive amount of unemployment benefit scam that has taken the state by storm.
Nine DAs have written a letter to Gavin Newsom. They're calling it the most significant fraud on taxpayer funds in California history.
This fraud, they say, involves identity theft of prisoners as well as alleged scams by individual inmates and organized gangs to game the state system. For example, everybody remembers Scott Peterson, right? Scott Peterson has reportedly been receiving unemployment benefits in recent months. Now, again, because it's a scam, I'm not sure that it's Scott Peterson who's actually opening these envelopes. But because of the fact that they're using this guy's name and nobody's catching it, that's an issue.
Convicted serial killer Kerry Stainer. Remember him? He murdered those two women and the girls near Yosemite back in 99. He also received unemployment benefits. Also approved for an unemployment debit card, Iswaro Aguirre. Remember, he was the one who tortured little Gabriel Fernandez.
They say that so far, investigations have uncovered more than $400,000 in state benefits paid to death row inmates. Now, there's 700 members on death row right now.
That's 400,000 to death row inmates, but then more than 140 million to other people incarcerated.
Anne-Marie Schubert, we've talked to her on the show here. She's the district attorney in Sacramento County. We saw, obviously spoke to her in the context of the Golden State Killer, but she helped organize and lead this task force that uncovered all of this. In total, the payments to these ineligible due to incarceration in prisons and jails, she said, could total nearly $1 billion.
The alleged fraud took multiple forms. Some claims may have been submitted by inmates directly or by family and friends to whom they gave their personal information. Other inmates may be unwitting victims. Large-scale organized schemes have been found. Prison gangs. Listen, the guys that run gangs are brilliant. They could be CEOs. They are CEOs, but of a gang. And these bad guys know that the state is so screwed up and so vulnerable for fraud, and they capitalized on it. They all capitalized on it. The bad guys, the word about how law enforcement works or doesn't work spreads quite like wildfire through the bad guy circles.
Yeah.
And this was no different. Somebody found out that the system was broken, that it's just a complete mess at the the EDD?
Yeah, EDD.
Employment Development Department.
And listen, the governor, for example, the governor knows that this is a problem. The governor set up a task force. The governor shut down EDD for a while earlier in the pandemic to make sure that everything was working correctly. It's clearly not working correctly. Now, I will say this. If we keep electing the same morons to the same positions in politics and in charge of our state, we're going to end up with the same stuff, and it's going to get even worse.
Well, I mean, and, you know, you think about Gabriel Fernandez, right? And you think about how the Department of Child and Family Services was a mess and how he died and they all had blood on their hands because they were so disorganized. There was no accountability. It looks like it's the same thing going on at the EDD. Our buddy Vern Pearson, whose name I can never pronounce correctly, up in El Dorado County, he said it's a dysfunctional mess, this department.
To give you an idea of how this started to unravel and why the DAs even put this together in this letter, in August, there was a fraud ring that was operating out of the San Mateo County Jail. It was broken up after a bunch of cops overheard the inmates talking about the fake claims that were being filed on behalf of the inmates. In September, the Beverly Hills Police Department arrested 44 people and seized preloaded debit cards worth more than $2.5 million in unemployment benefits that had been issued by EDD. That month, also September, a strike team formed by the governor to try to speed up claims and address other chronic issues at the department issued a report recommending improvements, and the department suspended processing for 2 weeks so they could shore up the control and reduce this huge big backlog. The governor said in his statement that he'd also instructed the department to address reports of fraud in correctional facilities, but with only 17 fraud investigators in the entire department, they kept coming, hot and heavy. In October, they arrest a guy named Fontrell Antonio Baines. Everybody knows him as Nuke Bizzle, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard his stuff, right?
Sure.
Rapper Nuke Bizzle.
Yeah.
Allegedly using ID theft to fraudulently obtain more than $1.2 million in federal pandemic unemployment assistance, which expanded existing benefits during the pandemic. In a YouTube music video, of course, he held up the stacks of the preloaded debit cards issued by EDD and said, "You gotta sell cocaine. I just file a claim." They're making rap songs about it.
Yeah. Brian Suits just texted me. "I have 7 debit cards from phony EDD claims using my address. I installed a motion cam because my mailbox is an eighth of a mile away." From El Rancho Casa.
35,000 plus payments sent out in the name of state prisoners alone totaled more than $140 million between March and August. $500,000 dispersed in the names of 133 death row inmates. In one, a claim for $19,676 dispersed in the name of a death row inmate, and another for $49,000 in the name of another felon. Yeah. Yep.
California. Yep. These are the people telling you what you can do.
I have good news. I have a good thing to wipe away
really?
The pain of stupidity. I have a good news story.
Okay.
And you better buckle your seatbelt, lady.
All right.
You're in for a wild ride.
Okay.
This is the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Should we do Diet Coke?
You can. I feel like I'm already I am already chemically altered to the point where it's
already. That's a good word.
Safe. I don't know if my heart can take it. End up like a strength and conditioning coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Gary, he is like hanging on to life.
He's not dead.
What's the matter with you?
Is he dead?
I've been hanging out with Morgan too much.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Swamp Watch comes up at 12:30. Still no official concession from President Trump, although he has allowed federal agencies to begin some sort of transition process. We'll talk about that coming up at the bottom of next hour. Also, more information from the director of the CDC about when exactly we'll see all of our vaccines rolling out. Could be very, very quickly once the FDA finally gives the rubber stamp yes approval on that thing. We'll talk about the pardoning of the turkey. President did so earlier this morning.
Look at that beautiful, beautiful bird.
Look at that beautiful, beautiful bird. I am about to show you something.
I'm excited for
this. Well, put down the cheese, lady, because this one's going to be a barn burner. Ready?
Yep.
Take a look at that duck.
Oh, wow.
Take a look at that duck.
That is a beautiful duck.
Reminds me of Springtime by Vivaldi.
Orange and red and purple and blue and
beautiful duck.
Beautiful fuchsia nose.
Wonderful duck.
Light orange apricot, I would say. A tip of that nose with a turquoise tuft on the top of his head.
That duck.
Beautiful.
Represents every NFL uniform color on one duck.
Mm.
Except I don't see a whole lot of green. But that's the thing with these ducks, these Mandarin ducks, is sometimes when they flap their little ducky wings, the colors show up.
Is this a duck from China?
No, it's a duck in Orange County.
You said Mandarin.
Yes, it is a Mandarin duck. Mark Reitmeyer wrote for the Orange County Register, "On a cool recent morning, dozens of ducks milled about the pond at Irvine Regional Park in Orange. Most were mallards or wood ducks. There were a few coots and a variety of others. Bobbling in the middle of this collection of familiar waterfowl was a single duck that stood out from all the rest with its boldly colored feathers. A Mandarin duck.
Mm.
If the glamorous-looking Mandarin duck were a person and walked into a crowded room, all conversation would stop and heads would turn. It has been called by many the world's most beautiful duck.
It
certainly looks that way when floating on a local pond with other ducks.
The Mandarin duck is a perching duck species native to the East Palearctic?
Sure.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
Which includes China.
It does, huh?
Uh-huh. It's a medium-sized duck. 16 to 19 inches long. It's got a 26 to 30 inch wingspan. It's closely related to the North American wood duck.
In a large skillet, heat peanut oil to medium hot. In the meantime, dry the duck with several layers of paper towels. Brush the duck liberally with the soy sauce, being certain to paint it all over and thoroughly. When it is fully brushed, place the duck into the hot peanut-oiled skillet and fry it on both sides until it turns a dark golden brown. While the duck is frying, bring to a boil a pot of water deep enough to completely submerge the duck.
No, 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 we're not cooking the duck.
Why not? Into
because
the pot.
Because we have turkey on Thanksgiving.
Add a bouquet of garnish made of 1 teaspoon fennel seeds, 4 whole star anise, 6 whole cloves, salt and white pepper, dried peel from 1/2 a tangerine, 2 ounce sliced ginger root, 4 green onions tied in knots, and water.
I was in Utah and at a gamey restaurant. Big on the game.
After the stock has simmered for about 20 minutes to release the essence from the bouquet, take the fried duck and place it into the stock pot.
And I ordered duck. And that thing came basically raw.
At this point, lower the heat and poach the duck for exactly 1 hour.
I cannot eat a raw piece of duck.
This causes the thick fat layer in the duck to dissolve and to be extracted from under the skin.
Duck is delicious if done right, but I cannot do with an undercooked piece of duck.
When the allotted cooking time is done, remove the duck from the stock pot, drain it well, and allow it to cool.
Remember that one day we got a ham?
Cut the duck in half. and remove the rib bones, the back bones, the neck bones, and the thigh bones.
You're turning it.
But leave the drumstick and wing bones on for presentation.
You said it was going to be a good story about a duck, and now you're killing the duck and you're cooking it.
Place both duck halves on a metal steamer rack and set the rack down inside the stock pot that you poached the duck in originally.
The Chinese refer to Mandarin ducks as wanyang.
In about 15 to 20 minutes, the oven heat will cause the water from the steaming process to evaporate from the duck meat, consequently crisping up the skin in the process.
In traditional Chinese culture, Mandarin ducks are believed to be lifelong couples, unlike other species of ducks. Hence, they're regarded as a symbol of conjugal affection and fidelity. They're frequently featured in Chinese art. A Chinese proverb for loving couples uses the Mandarin duck as a metaphor. Two Mandarin ducks playing in water. You know what? You should send that to your friend who's getting the divorce.
I should.
Just send him a picture of a Mandarin duck. Say, better luck next time.
Yeah. Bro. You could have been this duck. Pretty duck, though, isn't it?
It is a pretty duck.
That's pretty duck. We'll talk about the turkey pardoning a little bit later in the show.
Whew. This is one of those times when we look at each other and we go, what are we doing?
What the hell is happening?
Ah, crap.
All of our trending stories when we come back to Gary and Shannon.
Suits just sent me a picture of these ducks that he's got in a kitty
farm. Those are handsome mallards.
Mallards, yeah. And he says, thank you for not eating us, Gary.
Oh. Well, I would never eat Brian's ducks. I would steal one out of the park and eat that one.
Are these ducks fornicating?
I'm sorry? What kind of pictures is he sending you?
Duck porn.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app on this Tuesday, November 24th. A reminder that our KFI Pastathon is back. 10th year raising funds in pasta and sauce for Katerina's Club, Chef Bruno's charity that feeds more than 25,000 kids every week. Obviously, this year is very different. The need is very real. Donate right now, pastathon.com. You can also stop into any Smart and Final store in the state. Or Nevada, or Arizona. Donate $10 at checkout. Your donation provides 14 meals. And even drop off pasta and sauce at the Anaheim White House now through the 4th of December. Every day, 8 to 3, 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, except Thanksgiving. But you won't even need to get out of your car. Volunteers on site to collect your donations and exclusive live streaming events next week. Next week.
What else?
Pastathon.com is where you... Pastathon.com. Is where you go to find out all the
what else?
Information.
Jacob.
Time for What's Happening.
Well, we have breaking news.
This just in.
California Restaurant Association suing L.A. County in an effort to overturn the county's pending ban on in-person dining. Ooh. And Steve Gregory joins us with the breaking news.
Yeah, I just interviewed the attorney who represented the Restaurant Association downtown Los Angeles this morning, Dennis Ellis, and he told me, which is great, he said that they've been asked back to a hearing next Tuesday, the county and the Restaurant Association.
And what will be discussed at this hearing?
Well, and I said, well,
science.
Is that good or bad? And Dennis said, that's great news because the judge wants the county to bring its evidence.
Oh, no. That's like bringing evidence of voter fraud. There's none. There's none. I mean, their evidence is that restaurants account for 3.1% of the non-residential cases when their own offices are due for 7.27%.
And further, because I asked, what happens if the county board of supervisors votes today to rescind the order anyway? And he says, we'll modify, but he says, we still want to have the hearing. And he said, a second point to their request is, if the county decides to do this in the future, they must provide evidence first.
Yes.
Does he need me to send him my arguments?
Dennis sounds like he's got it all under control.
All right.
But he seems very confident because now the county has a week through the holiday, by the way, they have a week to put together their evidence that outdoor dining is the culprit.
Oh, man. I
wait, hold on a second. But they're county workers. They have at least 3 of the next 7 days off. You know that.
Well, sure. Yeah. Did you see which departments in the county were the biggest offenders? Not offenders, but the
governmental
the departments, LA County Fire Department.
Yeah, I have it up.
The
right
registrar's
here.
Office.
Registrar's
yeah.
office, really?
The registrar's office, the fire department, and what was it?
The fire department, I understand.
Yeah, because that's a lot of residential life right. there, basically.
Well, and besides that, that was in the very beginning when they were dealing with these people, and then
they were exposed to it on a regular
exposed
basis
early on. Yeah,
Parks and Rec also
Parks and
I think
Rec. That's what it was. That was the other one,
which is great. But and I love the guys who work Parks and Rec.
Well,
but you can't sit in your truck all day. Not all day.
They got ducks to count. so when you think about and to Dennis Ellis's point, Shannon.
Yeah.
To his point,
I was just trying to find a list of government offices.
He said what was interesting about the order to begin with was that it was the state's idea to allow outdoor dining. Why didn't the county fight that in the beginning? Why didn't the county say, well, you know, we're really worried about outdoor dining. We don't think it's going to help. This has been presented as a means in which to continue the economy
right.
without causing the spread of the virus.
Yeah.
So he said the state already sort of laid the groundwork to say the state health department said outdoor dining is okay.
Right.
As long as behavior is okay.
Well, and that's part of the problem, the different messages that we're getting from different departments. It's not a unified front.
Well, they're spending millions of dollars every quarter. They're spending millions of dollars to unify that message, Shannon.
And they're doing a bang-up job.
No.
Bang-ding-out job.
Steve, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Other trending stories. Princeton University says they're inviting all of their enrolled undergraduates back to campus for the spring term that will begin in February. Ivy League school, one of the richest in higher education, said today they made the decision after establishing an on-campus lab and cultivating strong public health norms and practices. Side note, because it happened to me, my daughter has to test twice before she can go back to campus
yeah.
at the beginning of the spring semester at Cal Poly. She has to test here, bring that negative test with her when she moves in, and then test within 24 hours of arriving on campus.
The CDC says that it's considering shortening the recommended 14-day quarantine time for people exposed to COVID to between 7 to 10 days, FYI.
That would be good.
Yes, that would be
fantastic. Elon Musk is in the news today because he surpassed Bill Gates as the world's second richest person. Tesla's market value has topped 500B with a billion. That means Elon Musk has a net worth of approximately $128 billion.
Netflix has removed Chappelle's show because Dave Chappelle said, this isn't right. So Dave Chappelle got screwed over from Comedy Central and Viacom when he did the Chappelle show for however many years it ran. And Netflix threw up Chappelle's show recently on its streaming service. And he was like, I'm not making any money off this. I didn't make any money off of it when the rights were sold the first time, and it's not cool. And Netflix said, you know what? We see you, and we love our relationship with you, and we want that to continue, so we're going to get rid of it. They didn't have to, but they did it because they respect him, and they respect the relationship.
What an amazing advocate for himself that he has become.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, the discussions that he's had about cancel culture and who's going to tell me what I can say and can't say, he is his own boss and has to answer to nobody. And it's funny that he is now wielding that power over a company that's as powerful as Netflix is. Super planet. You ready for a super planet known as BDRJ1750 plus 3809? Or the alternate name, Elegas.
Who lives there?
Mandarin ducks.
Ooh.
The super planet is actually a brown dwarf. It's too cold and too small to be a star. The researchers at the University of Hawaii, who have had absolutely nothing to do for the last 9 months, worked in conjunction with tools from NASA and the Low Frequency Array Telescope in Europe. And they found this planet, super planet, brown dwarf. They said it's generally harder to find using methods that astronomers usually use to find other stars. But this one, the light they emit at radio wavelengths was vital in the discovery of the planet named Elegast.
Elegast.
Elegast, which is the new villain in the Marvel movies.
All right, let's talk turkey when we come back.
Please don't.
Oh, you're drawing the line at dumb jokes? Remember the owl jokes you did?
No.
Where you said, who?
Who?
Gary and Shannon will continue. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, the county supervisors are meeting today. They're tossing around a stay-at-home order for Los Angeles.
They have said that if our case average over the course of 5 days surpasses 4,500.
Which it has.
Well, the daily cases were over 6,000 for yesterday. So if that maintains over these next few days and we hit that average, it's going to be a modified stay-at-home order, though. And targeted is the word. Remember Steve was talking about yesterday that they used the term targeted for the first time. So does that mean specific areas would be locked down or be told that you can't go to work unless you're an essential worker or you can't travel there?
What does modified mean?
Well,
you can go to the florist, but not the nail salon.
Maybe. Remember, Gavin Newsom said this all started in a nail salon.
That was baloney.
Oh.
That was grade A baloney.
I thought we were supposed to believe everything that they tell us. And if he's not telling us the truth.
Oscar Mayer baloney.
Well, we had just yet another fine-looking bird.
It's a fine-looking bird, isn't it?
Out in front of the White House today. Two of them, as a matter of fact. Corn and Cobb.
This is an odd tradition.
I know,
good
but it's
Lord.
Fun. The president was able to pardon both. I think both Corn and Cobb is how they do it.
Like so many presidential flocks, this one started in the great state of Iowa in what can only been described as an act of blatant pandering. And by the way, I love the state of Iowa. These two turkeys sought to win the support of Iowans across the state by naming themselves Corn and Cobb.
Now,
what if that turkey came from, I don't know, Georgia?
Or Pennsylvania?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Do you think he would, Arizona?
He would have strangled it.
He would have gone down from that podium, taken one look at that turkey and kicked it, punted it across the Rose Garden.
Old cartoon-style axe and just right
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
There was a woman in the crowd, though. I don't know if you heard this. We were watching it online.
After today's ceremony, these birds will retire under the care of skilled veterinarians at Iowa State University, a tremendous university in Ames. Once there, people of all ages will be able to visit them and learn about poultry science, veterinary medicine,
and
the noble
ways.
American tradition of farming. We love our farmers, I'll tell you.
I heard the president got into the sauce a little bit at the ceremony.
I don't know if it's official that he did or not, or he almost sounds wistful. Like he almost sounds sad. Right.
Look at that beautiful, beautiful bird. Oh, so lucky. That is a lucky bird.
That is a big bird.
You're such a dumbass.
Why does that make me so happy?
We're a fabulous nation.
I don't know.
Yeah. We're a fabulous nation because we're a nation full of fabulous people.
Oh, that sounded Trump-esque.
No. That was Bush-esque.
I know, but it sounded like something he would say. Fantastic nation full of fantastic people, and it's all fantastic.
The president then walked over.
Our guests of honor, they've been waiting, and in this case, he's been waiting for this. And bring him out. Look at that beautiful.
Whoop.
Look at that beautiful, beautiful bird. Oh, so lucky. That is a lucky bird.
And then he walks over and
he pets the bird.
Kind of pets the bird a little bit.
Okay, bird.
Makes some clap happy sounds with the people that are next to him. And officially grants the pardon.
Mm. Corn,
I hereby grant you a full pardon. Thank you, Corn.
Thank you, Corn. Thank you, Corn.
He thanked the turkey.
For what?
What do you mean
the
for
turkey
what?
Turkey should be thanking him.
Be a great
him.
Turkey.
Well, you don't know that about Corn.
That turkey is so hungover right now, too.
Corn.
That turkey has been at the bar in the Willard Hotel in D.C. Well, probably hit a couple this morning to try to take the, you know, little hair of the dog to try to take the edge off. But he's barely standing up.
Hey, I got a report from prison about Aunt Becky.
You got a report from prison?
Yeah.
Is this to mean that you have insiders?
Maybe. She's in the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, up in the Bay Area.
Right.
My first fake ID listed my address in Dublin. It was 16 Montana Way, Dublin,
Are
California.
You kidding me?
Yeah, it was personalized.
And nobody...
Anyway,
apparently there were no bouncers who were 49ers fans.
Dublin, California is where she's holed up, and they said she had a weepy first night in prison. But now she's stuck to a routine. She's going to church. She's been praying a lot. Apparently she's found several friends in the other inmates. She hangs out with a specific group, and they say that she's worried about getting the COVID. But that her celebrity status is working in her favor when it comes to COVID protocols. They said it would be horrible PR if Lori got the COVID and got really sick. PR? What, the prison's worried about PR?
Jeez. Isn't she living off of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something,
too? That sounds lovely.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Big, fat, fluffy white bread.
Oh, my gosh. Wonder Bread with some Jif and no nuts. It's just smooth.
You're just a smooth and you're not chunky?
No. Are you chunky?
I am.
You are?
I
would
am.
Have never guessed that.
Which is weird because my kids are...
I was going to say your kids I know are not
now,
chunky.
Which is strange because I have to eat what they eat now.
Yeah.
Even though, guess who pays for it? This guy.
Is it strawberry that you like?
Jelly?
Yeah.
No.
Grape?
Nope. I mean, yes, if I have to, I'll do petite sirah, grape jelly. But mostly lately, it's been pomegranate.
Oh, that's very healthy.
I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag.
That is a big bird.
Are you done?
Swamp Watch when we come back.
You're right and I was so wrong. I was weak and you were so strong.
Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Big news coming up at 1 o'clock. Chris and Carlo is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the city of Pasadena. They have vowed to keep open their outdoor dining as an option, despite LA County coming forward and saying that all in-person dining must be closed down starting tomorrow night.
It's kind of a misleading headline, though. It makes it sound like outdoor dining is an option for people in Pasadena. They're just still weighing whether or not they will go with the health department and shut down outdoor dining. They don't know yet. They haven't given the okay to it yet.
Because they've got their own health department, right?
Right.
City
they
of
do. So does Long Beach, I believe.
Also, Jason Nathanson's going to join us in a little while. We'll be talking about Grammy nominations that came out. And guess what? We do have our first interim guest host of Jeopardy. Jason will tell us all about that coming up. Time for Swamp Watch.
Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Swamp Watch.
Well, as Randy Quaid once said, concede nothing. And the president has taken him up on that.
President still refuses to concede. Inez de la Cutera joins us now from Washington with all of the latest. Inez, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, he's actually retweeted Randy Quaid a few times now, so that's been an interesting development.
Yeah, it sure has.
especially considering they're not even current. I mean, the longest one, the Randy Quaid retweet, was about a 2.5 minute poem, apparently. And it was from a year ago.
Yeah, certainly. It's been an interesting series of tweets there. We also did get some more substantive tweets from the president where he did talk about the General Services Administration and Emily Murphy. And he said he had given Emily Murphy the green light to enable this transition process to get underway, which many are looking, you know, many here in D.C. are looking at that and saying that's probably the most we'll get in terms of a concession speech from President Trump. Others are reading it differently, saying it doesn't seem like he's actually conceding there. And he's, you know, he does say in those two tweets back to back, he does say in that series of tweets that he plans to keep the fight going. So that's interesting. But certainly the fact that Emily Murphy, the head of the General Services Administration, did send Joe Biden that letter last night, recognizing him as the president-elect. She doesn't use the word ascertain, so that's a bit of a departure from, what we've seen in the past. We were pulling up previous letters from the head of the GSA to other president-elects, and other letters have been kind of more direct. This one tried to toe a line where she allows for the process to begin. She also defends herself. She talks about how she wasn't influenced politically by the president, how this was just her acting of her own of her own will, that she says she wasn't pressured by anybody to act any differently. But she does try to appease the president in some way with that letter. The language she uses is interesting because it's just a little bit more diplomatic and not as direct. Clearly, I think she has the President Trump in mind.
He did tweet the GSA, he reminds everybody, the GSA does not determine who the next president of the United States will be, and talked about a big lawsuit that has yet to be filed that he believes would change the environment. He also doesn't get to determine who the next president of the United States will be, right?
That's right. The people get to decide, which is, so for him to make those statements is, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But he has been, pushing this idea that there's been widespread voter fraud. He hasn't provided any evidence, but he has repeatedly said that he believes, even in his tweets talking about the GSA last night, he reiterated that the fight continues, and they've certainly tried to pursue this through the courts. Nothing so far has really worked out. We should point out a vast majority of the lawsuits they have brought have been thrown out by the courts. They haven't made much progress there, so I don't know what lawsuit he's referring to there, but certainly President Trump, hates losing and I think is going to continue to fight this to the bitter end and continue. I think the thinking is also that he's going to concede that he needs to, that Joe Biden is the president-elect, but he will never concede. Seems unlikely that he will concede that he actually lost the election.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh even today said, if in regard to the lawsuits, if you promise bombshells, you better come with bombshells. And there has been no evidence produced by this this legal team that's dwindling, by the way. Inez, thank you so much.
That's right. Thank you.
Inez de la Cotera there live from Washington, D.C. When we come back, a little bit more about Swamp Watch, more about those bizarre Randy Quaid videos that were retweeted today. And some of the recount election stuff, including Nevada, Milwaukee, Pennsylvania, all of that stuff to come up in Swamp Watch.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
Sorry. That's just a... Yeah. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, the late 80s, early 90s called, and they want not just their Cousin Vinny back.
Did you all watch My Cousin Vinny?
They want Christmas Vacation back.
That's something, ain't it? She falls in a well, eyes go cross, she gets kicked by a mule, they go back to normal. I don't know.
He is a grade A crazy on social media, Randy Quaid. He, as you said, is not the poster child for stability when it comes to mental stability.
Yeah, and I guess it's unfortunate because it's not right to simply discount somebody for their lip fungus.
You got a kiss for me? You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus, he ain't identified.
God, I love that movie.
It's not worth it to discount the guy simply because he's had a run-in with the law and was a fugitive for a while. That's not a reason to say that Randy Quaid is crazy.
If mood catches him right, he'll grab your leg and just go to town.
Best to let him finish.
You don't want him around if you wear short pants, if you know what I mean.
Short pants.
A word of warning, though, if he does lay into you, it's best to just let him finish.
Okay. The president, for some reason, fell down a Randy Quaid hole this morning on Twitter.
Yeah, the thing is, what you pointed out, it wasn't a tweet that Randy Quaid composed this morning. The president saw it in his feed and hit retweet. He was digging around Randy Quaid's Twitter feed and pulling out tweets from a very long time ago and then retweeting them.
Yeah, some of them were from several days ago. Some of them were from 2 weeks ago. But this one was the longest one. It was basically a poem. And I don't know if Randy Quaid was responsible for it, but it was a poem that he did a year ago.
Is this the way America goes? From George Washington to George Soros? From oceans white with foam to a socialist swamp. Is this the way America goes? Is this really our future? Wake up, you sleeping giant. The Lilliputians have tied you down with their fantastic dreams of icebergs melting into dinosaurs.
Lilliputians.
Train tracks stretching across the Pacific waters.
Trains on the water.
Trump trumpets reveille. And it's time to heed the call.
He sounds like Chris Ancarlo.
The brains have been framed. The people disarm.
It's creative.
Conservative voices are silenced in the schools by anarchists left unmasked. Merry Christmas is greeted cheerlessly, even condemned.
It's funny that he mentions masks there. And again, it was a year ago, so masks weren't even really a thing.
Wow. Glory is being ripped to shreds by fakers and phonies, bullies and liars. Who want to destroy our president and redefine the sovereignty of the Supreme Court, rewrite the rules. A day of reckoning is nigh. Wake up!
Randy Quaid, did I get this right? Randy Quaid was nominated for an Oscar in 1973.
For what?
A movie called The Last Detail. He played Meadows. I have never heard of that before. He won a Golden Globe in the 80s for President Johnson in LBJ. But
The Last Detail is a 73 American comedy drama. Jack Nicholson stars Randy Quaid. Let's see here. Based off a novel, the film became known for its frequent use of profanity. Nominated for 3 Academy Awards. Nicholson, Quaid, and Best Writing Screenplay.
He was a cast member on Saturday Night Live at one point. But really, his legal problems have come to fore in the last 20 years or so. In September 2010, he and his wife were charged with burglary. They failed to appear in court. They fled to Canada and then had to be deported by Canadians. How insulting is that?
Yeah,
you
Canadians.
Were deported by Canada.
You got to really screw up to get deported by Canada.
They'll take almost anybody.
They drink milk out of a bag.
The president seemed to be going along, as Inez was mentioning there in that last segment, seemed to be going along with at least the beginnings of a transition, but also said, this doesn't mean I'm giving anything up necessarily. The allusion, I should say, to another lawsuit that's supposed to be coming has not yet materialized. I don't know if that was the Kraken that, for example, Sidney Powell was referring to. There have been some affidavits floating around online, whether they're true or not, whether they're actually going to be introduced in court, we don't know, but they dealt with Dominion voting systems. And there is a question being floated to Secret Service agents asking whether or not they would transfer to Florida to continue their body detail for the president, that the Secret Service Miami field office has begun looking at physical reinforcements for the Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach. Renovations to living quarters, updates are reportedly underway ahead of the president and first lady's welcoming of the Christmas tree. The fact that they'd be living at the resort full time after January 20th. And they said that the residence has only been used on a temporary basis. The club has only been open seasonally, but that it would become a full-time home for Donald and Melania.
The Georgia recount requested by the president's campaign has begun. They say it'll wrap up by midnight of December 2nd. He is legally entitled to request this recount. The losing party always is, and county and state offices shoulder the cost. Trump and the allies there have tried to push beyond a recount. They've demanded an audit of the signatures on mail ballot envelopes.
The assumption being that they weren't originally checked, right? I mean, that's the only reason why they would do it.
Have to be so vast.
One of the things that Rudy Giuliani had mentioned on television recently was in a TV interview was that more votes were counted than citizens live in the city of Detroit. He went back and admitted that that was a bit of farce. In that he was expanding on the actual truth. The way that I've seen it written is more votes were counted than people were registered to vote going into the election. But as we've said many times, like here in California, in Michigan, you can register that day. You can show up to vote. And as we've seen with 153 million people or whatever who voted in the election, turnout was far and above anything we've ever seen in a presidential election. So some of those people had to just logically, they had to show up and register to vote on election day. So it didn't make a lot of sense that Rudy Giuliani was suggesting then that that made all of the vote in the state of Michigan not count. So.
Well, L.A. County is considering another stay-at-home order due to, quoting here, an impressive and alarming surge of the COVID cases. State recorded its highest day of daily cases Saturday with more than 15,000. They say hospitalizations have risen 77% over the past 2 weeks. Garcetti says at this rate, hospitals could fill up by Christmas. They have already put in an order to close down all outdoor dining now, as well as indoor dining starting tomorrow. But at least one city in L.A. County is saying, well, I don't know about that. Not so fast.
There are heroes in that city of Pasadena. That's what they are. Chris and Carlos is going to join us. We're going to talk more about that when we come back to Gary and Shannon. Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
So because we cannot have a week without getting one of these messages, here is what today provided for us. So a hot reel is when you snort either Coke or meth with a glass tube and you heat up the tube. So when you snort the Coke or meth, it melts while going up your nose and you breathe out smoke. Seriously, not 1 week has gone by where we haven't gotten a message on how to do hot rails.
The ghost of Carmen Pugliafito continues to haunt us.
I mean, that story was 2 years ago.
If not more than
if
that.
If not more.
Well, somebody early on wrote to us on Twitter when I was going a little crazy and I had a chemical imbalance at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
We're already off the hot rails. Get it?
Yeah. I mean, I love a hot rails mention just as much as the next guy. But we know how to do them now.
Well,
we
don't need. We know how. We've been told what they are.
Exactly.
That's a better
way. Know what they are. That's we don't know how to do. Yes. Anyway, Chris and Carlo joins us now because it looks like Pasadena, which has its own health department, may take the county's order to close outdoor dining and ignore it potentially.
You know, that story about the hot rails happened in Pasadena.
That's true.
We're linking everything together. It's right.
Full circle.
The full circle, just, you know, I like to do segues well. And in this context, what the city of Pasadena is doing is different than what LA County is doing. So there was a rupture long ago in the age before Twitter between Pasadena, Long Beach, and LA County, which is why you have three different public health departments in LA County, which is very different than most other counties throughout California. So Long Beach can set their own rules. Pasadena can set its own rules. And then the county, of course, sets their own rules. Pasadena has come out officially. They have said, that's nice what you guys are doing over there in Altadena. That's nice what you guys are doing over there in South Pass and, you know, East Pasadena and Sierra Madre. But we're cool here. We're going to go ahead and let people continue to eat outside. And we're also not going to put a cap on the capacity outside. So if you want to go down and eat on Colorado Boulevard, if you want to go down to Lake Avenue, or if you want to eat in any of these other neighborhoods in Pasadena and eat outside, you still can. What they're doing is they're taking a different approach, which is more of a sort of educational and enforcement approach. So sending out more code officers, kind of enabling other officers within the city infrastructure to, you know, check up on establishments, make sure they're following the COVID guidelines, and to make sure that restaurant owners know exactly what those guidelines are, and to work with them to make sure that there is enough distancing and the mask protocols and every other protocol is handled in the back of the house, you know, when you're cooking the meals and prepping the meals before they get out to the people who are sitting outside.
Okay. Is this going to be challenged in court? Can it be challenged in court?
I mean, sure, it can be challenged. Will it be? I don't know if it will be. I shouldn't have said no so quickly. I don't know if it will be, because typically what we've seen is the court challenges are coming from the business community against the government or against, you know, these departments of public health. It should be noted as well that this is a really kind of apples and oranges comparison here between the city of Pasadena just trying to figure out a health care policy or a health policy for 140,000. I don't even know how many people live here, but it is obviously a much smaller footprint than an entire county that is bigger than like 38 states. So if anything, this may speak perhaps to down the road re-examining how we handle public health from a jurisdiction by jurisdictional basis, because obviously Pasadena has more flexibility here simply because there's less room, there are less people, there are fewer restaurants to govern. And so they can get a better handle on this on the city level, whereas the county, man, that's a big picture, and that's a very difficult thing to figure out.
Well, and I wonder if this would be sort of the beginning of the development of some sort of a targeted program. We talked with Steve last couple days about this, and he used that term targeted. And for the first time in a news release from public health, they talked about targeted. They were using it in the terms of a safer at home order, if they have to get to that, but that it would be targeted. Wouldn't that make sense if a city like Pasadena, an area like Pasadena, to be more general, and an area like, say, Santa Clarita, an area like Wilmington, they're all treated differently because they're demographically, geographically different. There are, when it comes to just the simple, I don't know, the concentration of the people, it's all different.
That's a good point that you raise, but it also, you know, using the Pasadena example, raises some problems of complexity, right? So, for example, the next phase, once I'm detached from the board of supervisors who are talking right now about this very thing, and once that meeting's wrapped up, I want to go find some restaurants that are in Pasadena and then restaurants that are either in South Pasadena or Altadena that are on different sides of this healthcare order. There's a street in Pasadena. I'm not sure if there's a restaurant on there. I'm going to drive down there because I want to see it. But if you drive down Green Street, down toward Madre Boulevard, you will drive down Green Street. On your left-hand side will not be Pasadena. On your right-hand side will not be Pasadena. However, if you go a block to the north or a block to the south, you'll be back in Pasadena. And if you go a block back to the west, you'll be in Pasadena.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
It is. And that's the reason why I bring this up is because that brings up the challenge when you start to do targeted enforcement. Where do you draw the line? And as soon as you start to get into, okay, well, we're going to draw the line here, but not here, then it's like squeezing the tube of toothpaste, the proverbial tube, and suddenly people go squeezing out into that. And Pasadena is worried. They are worried that as the orders come down the pike in L.A. County, that people from Eagle Rock are just going to hop on over and come to Pasadena to eat. And not only are, you know, that's great business and everything, but potentially bringing COVID into Pasadena, more COVID into Pasadena. So that's the problem that we run into with targeted enforcement. And, you know, there are going to be thesis upon thesis upon thesis written about how these sort of healthcare orders and just how the response to COVID has been presented from a jurisdictional level to a state level to a federal level. And, you know, that's where we get into these thorny questions of, okay, at what level do you make these decisions? Because certainly you can make an argument for targeted enforcement when the high desert is radically different than the South Bay. But what do you do about that space in between? You talk about Santa Clarita. Do you talk about them as high desert, or are they their own entity in between? Newhall Pass area. And then, well, what about the valley? What about the North Valley? I don't know. And that's why I don't envy anybody in the public health sphere right now, because you can say follow the science. Great. You follow the science and you shut everything down because that's what the science says. You know, you can say follow the science on global warming, and next thing you know, nobody's driving a vehicle. You've got to find that space between public policy and science. And that is, man, that is treacherous space to be in. And God bless anybody who's trying to navigate it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so the basics. Pasadena will allow outdoor dining. They're just going to step up their enforcement.
Yeah, so you can come, you can sit down, you can eat. You don't have to worry about capacity. Sit down, eat, have a hot rail, and then go home.
You've lived life. Have you ever done hot rails?
Guys.
Sorry. Radio. I forgot. You have children, too.
It's just us, Chris.
I know the girls like to listen to the show. Yeah.
It's all right. Any qualification for public life long went out the door as soon as Facebook existed. No, I've never done hot rails.
Did you hear me by any chance compare you to Randy Quaid?
What?
Well,
no,
just because he spoke very creatively and was speaking of Lilliputians and the like. And I said, this sounds a little bit like Chris Ancarlo.
That's interesting. Randy Quaid, every time I think about him, I think about killing all the aliens in Independence Day.
Yeah. The one time he saved the world.
The one time.
Thank you, Chris.
Later, guys.
When we come back, Jason Nathanson's going to join us. A couple things. Grammy nominations are out. Also, Jeopardy starts taping next week with a new interim host. We were right.
We were.
We were. JNet when we come back to Gary and Shannon. Leroy said, yeah, about Randy Quaid telling President Trump not to concede. You didn't say a thing about Hillary telling Biden to never concede, too. Actually, we did. And second, it's Randy Quaid.
The LA City Council considering an urgent resolution.
Urgent.
By Councilwoman Monica Rodriguez to ask the County Department of Public Health and Board of Supervisors to rescind that order to prohibit in-person outdoor dining in restaurants for 3 weeks. Council taking public comment now. The order is set to take effect tomorrow at 10 p.m.
large house parties.
You can't do large house parties. Not for Thanksgiving.
No.
You can't do them ever.
Large house parties.
We were talking off the air. I think that there is a certain aspect of the health, public health departments, not just L.A. County, but all over the place, and their response to all of this, that despite the math and science and numbers and data and things like that, there's a fear that if you don't do something, it looks like you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Like, so you see places like, you know, El Paso, Texas, for example, has been one of those places that has seen a significant increase in the number of cases that have resulted in hospitalizations and reaching capacity in some of their ICU units.
They've got like mobile morgues.
In California, in Southern California, we're not to that point. But in fact, the last time we talked about running out of hospital space in June, it never came to fruition. That was back when our positivity rate was higher than it is right now. That's back when the number of people hospitalized was higher than it is right now. But that's not what's driving people to make these rules and to put them into place. That's a concern. So.
Well, Grammy nominations were announced this morning, which means we get to use the word snub. Jason Nathanson joins us now with all the latest. Jason, who got the most nods? Who got the most snubs? Break it down.
Well, I guess you can only get one snub. Maybe you can get more than one snub.
True.
How do the snubs work? I'm not sure exactly.
I think I just like saying snubs.
I'm sure you do. Randy Quaid did not get any nominations for the Grammys, just FYI. Although he could get a spoken word nomination after his recent videos. So that'll be for next year. But for this year, Beyonce got the most nominations with 9. And she didn't even really technically, I guess, put out an album. It was for her.
I didn't think she did anything this year.
The visual album Black is King, which was the Lion King's companion video soundtrack type thing. That's where she got most of the nominations. And the Song of the Year and Record of the Year nomination for Black Parade comes from that. I think that was the only single that they put out from that. So she gets nominations for basically going to the bathroom. So because the Grammys just love her and she's great. She's wow. Perfect. But also with those nominations, she is now the most nominated woman in history. And if she wins, if she wins 4 of those nominations, she will be the woman with the most Grammys in history. If she wins 8 of the 9, she will be the person with the most Grammys in history. So it could be a very big night for Beyonce. January 31st on CBS.
I assume it's going to be a giant Zoom call once again.
I would imagine so. A lot could change between now and then, and certainly we could have a vaccine, although I don't know if, you know, the people in the music industry are going to be vaccinated by then, right? It's going to go to high-risk people, which could be people in the music industry. They're high-risk for a lot of diseases, but I don't know if they're going to have vaccines by then. So I'm guessing it's going to be a remote-type thing. We found out today that Trevor Noah from The Daily Show is going to be the host. So that should be interesting. The first time he's ever hosted that. I don't know that he's actually hosted anything. So it should be fun to see what he comes up with. And we saw the American Music Awards, which were on Sunday night, and that was from downtown L.A., and they did have performances there. So I would imagine by January they will be able to have performances at the Grammys. I don't know if we'll have a big audience. I don't know if some of it will be remote, likely, but probably that'll be the case.
Well, we talked last week, obviously, about the death of Alex Trebek and who would, if anybody, take over for Alex as the host. We know that at least one interim guest host has been named. My question is, who is it? And second, does that mean there will be others?
It is Alex Stone who's going to be the interim guest host, it'll be Ken Jennings, which is who we talked about and who everybody thought is going to be, he's the guy who's going to take over. But he is going to be the guy who takes over for we don't know how long. They said that they're going to have multiple guest hosts, basically doing auditions on the air, and we'll see how he does. He'll be the first one. They start taping those episodes next week, which is pretty quick, I thought, to actually get in there. But again, they knew that this was going to happen, so I would have to imagine that they've been planning for something like this. And I think we'll see those first Ken Jennings episodes sometime early in January.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
It'll be me in a hot tub with a turkey.
I love that. Mm. Will the turkey be in the hot tub, or will it be like on a table so you can just eat it while
floating
you're...
Floating table.
Well, it's going to cook in the hot tub.
Oh, that's a hot tub.
Not a smart idea.
Talk to Neil about this. It's a sous vide, so it'll be in a bag in the hot tub.
Okay.
It comes up to temp. Takes a while, but about a day. And then you have some juicy, juicy turkey.
Oh, boy.
Juicy. That is a big bird.
Exactly. It'll be a 25-pounder.
Jeez.
Me and Randy Quaid in the hot tub just hanging out.
You got any hot rails in there?
Talking shop. Hot rails?
Yeah.
What are hot rails?
Oh, no. All your email is just about to blow up. Everyone's going to tell you what hot rails
are. You are going to get so much feedback.
Have asked
you
that
should
question.
Never. You should know what they are.
Can I Google it?
Yeah.
Is it safe?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell them it's for a story.
Thanks, Jason. Gobble, gobble.
Thank you.
Gobble, gobble.
Jason.
So the LA County Board of Supervisors right now on this call is making an ass of itself. The health department just admitted they don't have specific numbers tying outdoor dining to a surge in cases in LA.
Even though they've been warned now for like 3 days, hey, you better come with some numbers.
They said they're going off a CDC study. The CDC study on the matter is across the United States, and it does not differentiate between indoor and outdoor dining.
And that's the one I was talking about the other day, that you cannot use that as the excuse for this order.
Oh, boy. Boo.
Gary and Shannon. Neil Saavedra is going to join us in just a few minutes. Tasty Tuesday when we come back. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 30,000 for the first time. This has been quite an interesting year. Back on January 5th, I believe it was the last time it closed above 29,000. So it took this long to get to 30,000. As a milestone, first time on progress toward a coronavirus vaccine. The Biden administration, the transition issues were sort of loosened up, shall we say. And Mark Meadows has notified the West Wing staff of transition and has warned anybody in the White House, however, against any unauthorized contact with the Biden team.
Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Shannon.
How much do you weigh after eating Chinese food?
First of all, offensive question to ask me that on the air.
Exactly.
And second of all, you know what? I don't know, but it's a lot.
One ton.
Yeah.
Let me teach you.
Wait, is that?
Do you want to do a take two on that, or
are
you going to let
offensive?
That stand? Are you going to let that stand?
I thought it was cute. But you're looking at me like I just offended a people.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not offended. I'm just saying.
Well, a people is me.
I don't care about offending you.
Okay.
Neil Saavedra, host of The Fork Report, has joined us. What's going on, Neil Ski?
You know, just living the dream. My philosophy has been through 2020, you know, live, laugh, love, that type of thing.
Nope. We're not doing that. You're not squeezing it into the program, no matter how much Morgan pays you.
Jacob, love.
Dump that.
Jacob, dump it. Dump it both.
It just puts me in a mode, you know? It's like a mini mantra. It gets me going, you know? Those three things just get me focused. Who doesn't want to live? Who doesn't want to laugh? Who doesn't want to love?
Yeah. Again, dump that.
I want to. I want all those things. And if I can get them in threes, boom.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't even have her accent goes from some weird mutation of Texas, and then there's kind of a weird street influence, and then
I think the best way to describe it is Florida.
Hey.
Drug-addled?
That's offensive even for me.
Neil, listen, this restaurant thing has got to, I mean, when you saw that on Sunday, when we found out that the county was going to try to come in and close down restaurants. In all honesty, it's not the whole fight is not over yet. I mean, if the city of L.A. is even saying they want to push back against this, the city of Pasadena, obviously, with its own health requirements, a health department can do so. This is just, I mean, increasing the strangulation of our restaurant business.
It was so weird because I've been in touch with Stephen Gregory, as I know you guys have been as well.
Stephen?
Steve, that's very formal. We used to call him Stephen Gregory, and then it changed to Steve because it sounded too uptight. But I'm formal when it comes to a star reporter. You've seen the trophies, man. You've seen the wood. He's got the wood. He's got the gold.
Listen, you don't need to fluff him up here, all right?
That has a very specific connotation.
Him?
No. Fluffer. Anywho, before Shannon went down the filth path again, it was heartbreaking because it was immediate. I called and spoke to many people, two very important people in the industry. When they saw my name come up on their phone, this is how they answered it. No joke. That was it.
I hear that from Shannon a lot in these last couple of months.
And I was like, I'm heartbroken. I don't know. I've had more phone calls and Zoom meetings in the past, 3 days than I have in the past 3 months. It's just been heartbreaking. Been in, these think tanks that people are putting together trying to come up with answers. The worst thing we did ever is politicize this. The worst thing, people get to the place where when you hate somebody like Trump so much, then whatever he says, people will run the opposite.
Right.
And you find this throughout history. It's really funny. When you look at religious beliefs, most of them were based on doing the opposite of what the other guy was doing. So if that's what the heathens are doing in your view, then you're going to do the exact opposite. It had no real bearing on anything except wanting to look different than the person. Unfortunately, we have a two-party system which makes people believe that one has to be right and one has to be wrong. And we've gotten into that place with this to where you say, hey, we're all for the science. Show me the science. You can't tell me 3.1% of the virus is being spread in restaurants and then shut them down when you have 26 or more percent coming from the home. So we're putting people back in the home where the problems are, and we are using restaurants as a scapegoat. The science is not there. They're the best to handle this because they're the ones that deal with the health department on a regular basis prior to the pandemic. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. If they're not, then shut that place down. And it's not just economy. Everybody wants to balance these things like it's like, oh, human life or economy. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's been forever. Otherwise, we'd be driving at 15 miles per hour.
No, we wouldn't be driving. We wouldn't be driving. Alcohol would be completely outlawed. Nobody could smoke. Nobody could eat a hamburger with extra cheese. Well, I don't know why you'd eat that, but that's fine.
That sounds great.
I know. I mean, there would be so many things. We live in a world where risk is understood. I don't want to say it's acceptable, but we know that it's part of life. We understand that we take a risk in doing the things that we choose
to
do.
And we have to have the confidence of the government that we are not children and that we can navigate the risk. I'm monitoring the LA County Supervisors meeting right now. Catherine Barger is against this. So is Janice Hahn. Catherine Barger saying she's now even more upset with the decision to restrict outdoor dining because they said it was based off a CDC study and that LA County Public Health has not been tracking it on our own for the past, 7 or 8 months. She says it's totally arbitrary and she's absolutely right. It's doing something just for the sake of doing something
exactly.
With no freaking science to back it up.
It doesn't tie in. You guys mentioned this earlier about the numbers. And when Steve Gregory asked about the numbers, they didn't have it. Now, imagine this. Imagine a politician that has a president that could take us to war coming out and declaring war. And when asked, what is the basis for the war, saying, I don't have those that stuff in front of me.
Right.
That is the equivalent. And I don't want to bash. Listen, I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt. We put them in these offices and we're asking them to hear us and to do right. I call them names and bashing them isn't going to help anything here. But look at what you're doing and the lack of reasoning. This is a massive vote of lack of confidence. We have no confidence in them anymore because they are not giving us goalposts, achievable measures, end game.
They're not showing their math either.
Nothing. So there's no, you don't even know where you're going and why. You don't even know what we're supposed to be looking for. The first thing they'll teach you when you're dealing with logic is about correlation does not mean causation. So if I sneeze and a tree falls in my front yard, you can't say just because they happened at the same time that I caused that.
Although, that would be a funny trick to play on your son, though.
It'd be cute as hell. But when they're saying things like there's an uptick of numbers and cases, well, what does that mean? How many are we testing? Are we testing more than before? What is it?
What percentage?
Capita?
What's the ratio? Exactly.
Let's look at these numbers and understand these numbers. You can't just, and because it's become political, people go, but did you see the numbers are rising? Yes, but why are they rising and where are they rising?
I feel like we need more mathematicians involved in this and fewer people that just went to anatomy. And I know anatomy is a very difficult class, but they don't seem to grasp numbers.
Well,
and what those mean.
Bring on the actuaries.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It's not even the math.
If you're testing more, if more people are going to get tests because they want to show their paperwork to their family before Thanksgiving, and if you compare that number and see what percentage more testing we're doing, and you see probably that it's going to be equitable with the number of positives that we got 2 weeks ago.
But math is still the what. The why is that secondary thing behind it. And so people keep saying, look at the math as the science. But math is a strange thing when it goes with, like, mathematically, you can make a book, you can split the page of a book an infinite amount of times, mathematically. But you can't physically have a book that has an infinite amount of pages. So mathematically, you can get things on a board and come up with an equation, but it doesn't mean you can physically make that equation work in the real world. So when you're dealing with math, that's the outcome. That's just numbers. The philosophy and the logic comes behind that to say, like you said, what are the, boy, this gets into heavy stuff. What is it that makes those things come together? And that is like saying, here's a big old 50-cent word, transitive property of equality. If I say a soccer ball is like the moon, it's not saying that the soccer ball is a planet. It's saying that they're both round. So when you say this math is going on, you're absolutely right, Shannon, that secondary point is, where are you combining it to? Why is it? Not that the numbers are there. We already know that the bodies, that's all they're giving us is counts of head counts.
Everyone's sounding like Chris Ancarlo today, aren't they?
Yeah, which brings me to a president.
It's like a moon and a soccer ball.
I get
what you're saying.
It's the reasoning behind it. You have to give those. It's not just the numbers, because you can say 12.
Right.
You know, Legionnaires' disease, you go look back at that. If you just said, well, it was because they were in that building, so it must have been the food they all ate, you'd be wrong. If you said, well, it was something in the paint in the building, you'd be wrong. If you'd say, well, one of them came in with a virus and they all got sick, you'd be wrong. It was something in the air conditioning. So there's more to say than just these people got sick. You have to look at everything above and beyond, and we're not. 3.1% of the problem is coming to the restaurants, but restaurants are 100%. Looking at I thought I saw a new number coming in. 100% of that, the meeting has not ended yet. Have you seen Shannon?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but we got to go. I know you're in management and you think that you can just talk through a break, but there are rules in place here and we've got to go.
Can't we just tie this into a spot?
Probably not.
If you have solar problems.
Nope, that won't work.
It's not the...
Neil Saavedra, host of the Fork Report, has joined us. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Neil Saavedra, host of the Fork Report, has joined us. Does that make more sense?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But I've already told everyone.
Oh, no. Now you have ruined a life.
I have to go back and fix that.
Neil, I had a question. As we get ready for Thanksgiving, because 2020 is crazy, give us an idea of one thing that we could do for our Thanksgiving meal with ourselves and our spouses and close family members that would bring a little pizzazz to it that might be unusual. Like add Sprite to my gravy, or is there some like secret ingredient that I should try?
Funny enough, there is ways to brine your turkey in root beer or cola, which has a little kick to it.
I almost did a whiskey brine. I've done that before, but I didn't feel like there was much whiskey in it. So
it's hard the way it cooks off. Depends how you do it. I would actually make a baste or something to add to it afterwards as well. However, the hottest, coolest thing that I have seen from girlscangrill.com, which was gorgeous. Do you know what a Hasselback potato is? Have you ever seen a Hasselback potato?
I know that he was bad quarterback.
He was lame in Seattle.
I should have known I was going to go to sports. And I was sick of myself during the segment. Now I'm sick of you two. Okay, so I really did. I didn't want to come back. I hate hearing myself now.
Have you noticed that you get sick of yourself? Well, I notice, I'll put it this way. I notice I get sick of myself at a much more frequent pace during this whole thing.
Absolutely. Can't stand my face.
Yeah.
Can't stand my voice.
I hate all of it.
I hate my guts.
Me too.
After COVID. So here's something really cool that you can do at home, and it's awesome. So a Hasselback potato is you put two wooden spoons down, on the counter, and then you put the potato between them.
Yes, so and you make little slices in it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, so that it won't cut all the way through. So
right.
The spoons stop it. So you leave about a quarter inch of the potato, and you maybe do an eighth of an inch or so slices. You make them fairly...
And then butter.
Yeah, butter, all that stuff, right? Now, I saw one at girlscangrill.com where she did that with a sweet potato. And just a great butter and all this stuff. And then at the very end, put marshmallow fluff on it and then bake it off. And so you make your candied yam as a Hasselback sweet potato.
Ooh.
And I was like, boom.
My daughter specifically requested sweet potatoes, so that's going to have to be in there.
So I'll send you the videos and the recipes and stuff like that.
Awesome.
On her. But that to me is something that is traditional as far as flavors, but a super cool way presentation wise. And you can grill them too. You can grill them or you can bake them however you want. I'm going to be all over the place. I'll be using just about every piece of my outdoor kitchen and every piece of my indoor because regardless of the fact that no one's going to be here, I'm going to cook.
You'll be in for Handel on Thursday morning, and then you are in on Friday afternoon for John and Ken, right, along with Dean?
Yeah. So I'm stoked. I get to hear more in my mouth.
More self.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I get to hear myself some more. Neil, I will be so self-loathing by Saturday.
As always, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Neil Saavedra, host of The Fork Report. John and Ken Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay dry, everybody.
Blessings.
I know how you cut me off all the time, but I'm not going to be quiet anymore, okay? I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk.
Gary and Shannon.
Look, why am I stopping? No one else stopped.